I got nothing. It's the news according to me. Yeah, that's what it is. It's Wednesday. It's just What's On My Mind Wednesday. That's what it is. What's On My Mind Wednesday. It's a new segment. It's going to be this week only. Because it's just what's on my mind. It's this week and this Wednesday. That's all it's going to be about the show. That's all the show is going to be about is what's on my mind. And yeah, I'm talking a little fast. Sorry. I'll slow down because I know that there are some leftists that listen to this podcast. And so I will slow down and talk slower for you. How's that sound? There's so many topics to choose from. And I don't know where to begin. I guess the first place and the most important thing is always, as usual, The most important segment of the show is what's in my cup. This morning I have this chai that's Oregon chai again. It's a powdered form Oregon chai, and it has I put some creamer in there, just some French vanilla creamer, real dairy stuff. And that's all I got in there. It's good. It's good stuff. It's hot this morning. I was tempted to make it a cold iced chai, which I will probably have later on today because it actually has been, I almost made some sweet tea yesterday, day before. Maybe it was day before. It was today. I don't know what it was. Because I was home long enough that I could actually drink a whole gallon of it within, you know, 3 or 4 days. And I still might make some. I don't know. Because I leave tomorrow, and I'll be gone for almost a week. I'll be gone for 6 days, well, 7 days, actually, total, if you count the day I'm leaving. I have some work to do down in Atlanta again. I was tempted to drive down, because I like having a car down there. The area where I typically stay when I'm down there is, let's just say it's not exactly a place where you want to be walking around in the evenings. And I like having the options of being able to drive somewhere. And my nephew just texted me. He's into crypto stuff. He's done really well with it. He's on top of it all the time. And he invested in Doge back when it was, you know, less than a penny. And Doge is kind of the micro Bitcoin kind of thing. It's like the people made really good money on that thing there for a brief moment. Kind of like the whole Bitcoin thing back when it was, you know, it was less than a penny at one point. And there were people were giving it away as jokes. Oh, I'm going to give you 10 Bitcoin. Oh, gee, you're second place or third place for this golf tournament. We're going to give you 10 Bitcoin or 100 Bitcoin. There you go. There's 100 Bitcoins. It was a joke. People would laugh about it. So they have 100 Bitcoins. They're sitting around not knowing what to do with it. Yeah. Turns into $500,000. That's a good deal. Should have seen that coming. So anyway, they got this new thing now is called helium, and it's of course this was a big deal. It came out all of a sudden, helium was the all the rage. Now I don't understand helium at all. I don't understand what's going on with it. I don't understand how it works. All I know is people are making money with it. So, and you can buy a miner for like $600. Well, I bought a couple of them. And I haven't got it yet. There was a rush on these things. Now, people in the meantime, they've been making all kinds of money. And of course, in the meantime, at first, people were making $300 to $400 a month with these things. I mean, in a couple of months, you've made your money back. And I've got two different locations where I can put these little miner things, and I could have them link up with each other and make money. You know, that would make it that much better. Perfect spot here for where I'm at. And the location was really good. So I was going to do that. I was going to start, you know, finding ways to put them in other cities and other places and just start raking in the dough. Passive income, a couple thousand dollars a week. Well, ordered the miner. I was told that he's, you know, the Bobcat miner was the one to get because he could get it really quickly and it was, you know, really well made and everything was working well. So we ordered a couple of those. My nephew ordered a couple of those. Two or three, I don't know how many, or he probably ordered a half a dozen of them. Of course, you could buy them online right away. You could buy them at Amazon for a couple thousand dollars, but if you buy them directly from Bobcat, it was cheaper, but you had to wait a little longer. They were making them to order, basically, I think. So, you know, short story long, 2 months later, we're still waiting on this thing. It was supposed to be 2 weeks, and still waiting on them. Because there was this huge rush. Everybody found out people were making money on this thing, and everybody ordered them. So I'm still sitting here and still waiting on that whole deal. In the meantime, it's come out now that, mining helium isn't making as much money as it was. Of course. This is the story of my life. Day late, dollar short. There's a reason for that. Term. There's a reason for that saying being a saying, because you're a day late. It'd have been a day earlier, and I had a dollar more, I could have, you know, it's always a day late, a dollar short. If I'd have, you know, had the money yesterday, I'd be rich now. No, not I would just be a dollar short and a dollar shorter and a day further behind. I don't know. Something would have happened, I'm sure. It's just, that's the way, you know, just the way life goes. I don't know, at least in my world. I don't know what it's like for most of you. I know, anyway, the news, let's get back to the news because that's, you know, that's what we're doing here. I think that's what we're doing here. We're talking about the news, according to me. That's, I don't know. Is it the news? Every time I say the news, according to me, I should do that. Because, you know, this show is called The News According to Me. And I probably should do that every time I say The News According to Me. Anyway, but that would probably get pretty old. I think people would be frustrated with that. Anyway. A couple of, just some insider news. From here, from the news, according to me, a couple things that are happening. Kind of a big event coming up on the 22nd has nothing to do with this show and nothing I'm going to tell you about, but I've got a big event coming up that is taking out a lot of my time right at the moment. Once that event is done, I'm going to have 6 months of my time renegotiated, repurposed to complete some tasks that I've been working on for a while. You know, time management is a big deal. We talk about managing our money and financial planning and all that kind of stuff. You know, the most valuable thing we have is time. And we don't know how much of it we have. And it is very finite. So in the midst of all of that, we need to there's a scripture that says, teach me to number my days. That I believe that's what that's about. Teach me to understand the finiteness of my life. The number of days that we have and what we spend our time on, you will find is much more valuable than what we have to spend our money on. And I think the two go hand in hand. Scripture talks a lot about financial management, believe it or not. It also talks a lot about your life in general. And the mortality, we are mortals. We are eternal beings living in a finite body. it's quite the ominous thing. But it's not left just for us to figure it all out. We can't, and us figuring it out doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. We don't have to have it all figured out. I didn't create my life. The one who did is really more responsible for that. When you create something, when you build something, when you create it, the natural understanding is you are responsible for that. And you will lay your life down to take responsibility for that. That's the picture we have. That's what we have here with the story of the gospel. The good news is, in spite of our selfishness and self-seeking endeavors, that we, if we're honest with ourselves, if we have some sense of self-awareness, we understand that God has provided a way for us in the midst of all that, because ultimately, He's not responsible for our sin or the choices that we make. But He was the one who created us. He's going to provide a way, as any good father would, any good parent would. So we can trust Him in that. It's not easy sometimes, because it just doesn't make sense sometimes. But it doesn't have to. It's not about us figuring it out. It's not about us being able to pass a test on the knowledge of what happened in the Bible. Well, do you know what Gideon said when he was in the wine press? No, it's not about that. It's not going to be a test at the end. How many scriptures you have memorized? It's not at all what it's about. It's really about allowing, by grace, His Spirit to live within us to accomplish His will. Laying our lives down, putting our selfishness on the cross, dying to ourself, loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, esteeming others higher than yourself. And taking care of them and caring for them the way you would care for yourself. That's really that simple. It's not even based, or your salvation's not even based on that. That's more of a reflection or a response to the gift that He's given us in salvation. But it's complicated, and I'm not going to get into a bunch of theological stuff, because I pray that you find the truth in the midst of that, and settle on that, and find the peace of God in the middle of it, whatever you're going through. Yesterday we got word that my sister-in-law was married to a man who, let's just say it was a difficult marriage. Not putting blame on anybody necessarily. It didn't end well. And they had a daughter, my niece, and she's now grown up, and she's through college. I think she's either through college or finishing college. Not sure exactly where she's at with schooling, but I think she might have taken some time off for college, and she has gone back to do some other classes or something. I don't know. I haven't been that aware of what's going on with her. I think she's done now. I'm not positive, though. Nobody's ever really done with schooling. Sometimes they just keep going to school. Like my wife, a few years ago, got her doctorate degree in her 50s. So you never know. People are always in school. People are always learning, hopefully. Anyway, found out yesterday that apparently he had passed away. And not sure exactly what happened yet. Very, very much a mystery at this point. I think at least we haven't, the word hasn't come to us yet as to what happened. It wasn't a car accident. That's all we know. So we're kind of waiting on that. But he was younger than me. Don't know of any health issues, but there may have been some. I don't know. May have been something else. We don't know. But it's just, it reminds you of, you know, the, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know if that's going to be your last day or not. And we need to live as if it is, and yet live as if we're going to live another 20 years. That's the conundrum. That's the mystery that we hold. We don't know how many days we have, but we need to be realistic about the finiteness of our life. This will motivate you to do certain things. And it's interesting because all of a sudden, you know, I look around my house. I look around my shop. I've got a separate shop. It's where my office, I'm at my home office right now, which is soon to get renovated to the point where I may not even have to go to my studio anymore at the other one, because this studio here is going to be probably far greater in terms of sound quality. I've got a box outside my basement right now on my walk-in basement. It has an overhang. It's sitting in there. It's an Acoustic Labs sound booth, the one the kind that they use to test hearing. And like right now, I hear all kinds of squeaking and clopping going around above my head right now. I've got the door open on this. I don't really have a really good door on this. I tried to build an enclosure here for my whole office area. And it would work probably pretty well if I had it all done right, finished it, but it's finishing in the door and doing all this stuff would be hassle. Anyway, for a very low price, by the way, I got this thing. I mean, we're talking pennies on the dollar, maybe a penny on the dollar. I got this thing, and the only problem is getting it through the door. It's very, very heavy. It's all steel cabinet stuff, and then inside of it's got all the soundproofing stuff. I mean, this thing is, it's probably bulletproof. It's better than any kind of, you know, phone booth. It's not very huge inside. I could get my computer and my little mixer board in there. But I can't, once I get it in the house here, I'll be able to wire it up and use it. Now, granted, this thing's going to be, I have to say, probably, and what this gives me is it gives me not only outside, and really what it protects you from is outside noise, which is what I've had the biggest problem with. At my other studio, unfortunately, it's downtown, and there are certain kinds of trucks and certain kinds of things. Ever since I put the metal roof on my office there, I've noticed that I've gotten a lot higher level of sound coming into the building. And the whole building will kind of shake when a huge truck drives by. You can't stop that. There's nothing I can do to deaden that. So I have to keep the gain down to some degree on my microphone. Now, gain is the sensitivity, basically, of the microphone. So it's how close you have to be to the microphone to actually make it work. Now, you get in on a microphone, and you get the proximity effect. Now, even on a... Now, dynamics are big on this, but the cardioid pattern and the... How you want to say, the diaphragm microphones are extremely sensitive. If you get up on them like this, the only problem with them is then they start popping. Like if I have a pop filter on this one, but if I pull the pop filter away, you can tell that it pops a lot. It picks up a lot of really close stuff, but it pops too much. Now, if I put the pop filter on there, like this right now, now I'm really close, but I have the pop filter on. It does a pretty good job. So now I can, in a world where one man, now, if I could stand back from the microphone, turn up the gain on the microphone, the sensitivity or the amount of, you know, noise it's going to, I wouldn't have all this background. And right now I have to keep it down. I have to put a gate on it. So anything that's lower than a certain level of volume, it will not pick up. Now, as soon as I open that gate, as I start to speak, then all this background noise can come in with my voice. However, it's masked by my voice a little bit. You don't really hear it in the dead times, like from now until now, you don't really hear anything in between there because of the gate. As I'm speaking, all the background noise, the buzzing of the light, the, you know, if the water pump kicks on, if the air conditioning is working. Anything, any minute things that are going on in the background add to the, I call it deflection, the quality of the vocal sound. You probably don't notice it. It's not a big deal on a podcast. You're just listening to me talk. Normal room noise. But when you get into doing high quality voiceover work, where you're reading a script, for instance, I did a script for a company. Let's just say it was Keytruda. I do the vocal thing for that sometimes. And so I just did this thing. I'll play you part of it here. Let's see if you can hear it. This is what I do. Keytruda VO1, full read. Keytruda can cause your immune system to attack healthy parts of your body. So that gives you an idea of that's what I did. So in the process of doing that, that was a recording. That wasn't me talking. I can hear at the beginning and the ending of, and during when I'm talking, I can hear some background buzzing. A lot of that's from the lights, noise from the outside, and all just different things. I can hear, I'm just sensitive to that stuff. And unfortunately, you know, that's just part of the business. Now I will be able to turn up the gain on the microphone and get the subtle nuances in my voice much better. Plus I can stand back from the microphone a little bit and still be able to pick those things up. Now the problem with that is any movement I do with my hands or my arms that rub against my shirt or anything that happens to happen with the cord of my headset, my headphones can potentially show up on the microphone because it becomes so much more sensitive. So that's the goal, is to get as much capture as you can with the nuance of the voice so that it has the really high quality sound. And then to still be able to, you know, so this isn't a voiceover class, by the way. It's just, I'm just telling you that's what I do. I told you this was going to be about what I'm thinking about. Just my brain just opened up and here you go. There you go. That's what it is today. A couple of things I do want to talk about seriously about the news, according to me. I've got these notes here somewhere. What did I do with those? That's that one, not that one. Let's get rid of that one. That's not the right one. No, that's not what I want. Here we go. Oops. What happened there? Okay. Baby formula. Of all things. Baby formula is, we have a shortage of it. Now, I guess the really big problem is that there's some baby formula that it's like a hypoallergenic issue with some babies that have issues with certain formula that they can't have because they have stomach issues. And it's ridiculous. I mean, this is affecting everybody. This isn't just affecting rich people, poor people, whatever. I mean, I think rich people probably, people who are more affluent, I should say, are, I'm sure, you know, they've bought up, they have the resources, they can buy baby formula, you know, by the case. They're buying it up. There are places that are rationing baby formula now. This is, breaks my heart here. This is America. Supposedly the richest country in the world. We are a superpower. Most powerful nation on the planet. Can't feed our babies. And we want to kill them. Right before or even after they exit the womb. Why? Why? Because it's an unwanted child. Bull. That's the worst argument it's ever been. Why you're The mother can't afford the child. There are plenty of people who will adopt that child. There's a waiting list. A waiting list of people who will adopt a child. It costs more to adopt a child than it does to have a child. In most cases, especially with, if you don't have insurance, that might cost more. But with any kind of insurance at all, it's going to cost you way less than it will to adopt a child, I guarantee you. And there's still a waiting list of people willing to pay that. And there are people who get turned down for the silliest of reasons. You're too old. The location you live in is not what the parents requested. You live too close to them. You live within the same county or the same state. You want to talk about frustration. And then to see kids just willing to have kids and just throw them away. And to have adults, grown adults, who supposedly care about people in the nation promoting this kind of thing. These people are supposedly grown, responsible adults wanting to take the easy way out. Of course, they call it the easy way out. Just dispose of it. Just this lump of cells. Just get rid of it. Forget about it. You will never forget about it. You will never forget about it. You will always wonder what that child might have been, who they might have become, what kind of doctor, what kind of great humanitarian, what kind of special person, musician, artist they may have been. You'll see another child that would have been about the same age, and you'll wonder, because that's the way it happens. Because they lie to you about that. Just forget about it. Well, it's not an it. It's a child. And let's go on to another topic so I don't turn into an Adam Kinziger here. We have Fauci and Friends. You've heard of Fox and Friends. There's a new show called Fauci and Friends now. It's funded to the tune of about $300 million, $350 million. I don't know if you've heard about this. Fauci, and some of these people who worked for the NIH. And this is just one particular organization. The NIH is just one organization. Apparently they have this deal where if you have patents on something, you get some kind of payback, and it's this long, lengthy deal. This organization, what they could determine initially was that there's about $350 million that has been paid out to individuals, Fauci included, Fauci and Collins, some of the big people that were probably what's her name, I don't know. Who stand to make money on this whole thing. And of course the vaccines was one of those. And of course, now we find out that of course, when you see people getting militantly involved in, oh, you've got to be vaccinated and we've got to vaccinate everybody, not just the elderly, not just people over 60, not just people over 30, everybody down to 6 months old. And if we could get you as soon as you pop out of the womb, that would be great. Or if we could just do it in the womb, that'd be great before we abort you. We just got to get these vaccines out there. Bill Gates. Did you know that the only product that they've ever put on the market from Moderna as a vaccine was for COVID. All of a sudden, they jumped into that. And sadly, as I'm basically quoting, this is paraphrase, but I'm quoting, he used the word sadly. Bill Gates said, sadly, Omicron has gone ahead of the vaccination process and given people a lot of natural immunity. Sadly. Sadly for his pocketbook, his bank account. Oh, we feel so bad for you, Billy. Sorry, computer guy who became all of a sudden some expert on vaccinations and now he's going to get involved in the World Health Organization. Have you seen this new thing called germs? Or the germ council or whatever it's called? With the World Health Organization, which is, you know, to be trusted as well, because they don't have any kind of stake in the game. These people have payola from Big Pharma. You have to understand the tentacles that go through Big Pharma and everything that's going on there. And the amount, I mean, there are people who work in the Big Pharma who actually want to help people, but there are people behind the scenes, the investors and all the people, they want to make money. It's all about the money. It is a cutthroat business. It is, you want to talk about Monsanto with the food industry. Or Cargill, or any of those companies. It's actually rather scary. Because in the name of marketing, we have this strange combination of, and we're seeing it kind of play out in the tech world recently. We basically have a big business / government, I don't know what you want to call it, democracy, republic, something. I don't know what it is anymore. It's just weird, freaky thing, this hybrid thing we've got going on. You know, we talk about a one-world government, and we think of government. We think of some official government leader is going to take over the world. I'm more concerned about corporatist takeovers. And by corporatist, I don't mean, now this has nothing to do with capitalism. Capitalism in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's when capitalism gets mixed in with the government control. And here's what we have. And we've seen this very clearly in social media. The administration has admitted, Circleback has admitted, that they meet with the leaders of social media on a regular basis. They have like regular meetings set up with these people, with the Zuckers and, you know, people that, whatever their name is, Zuckerberg, whatever his name is, runs Facebook and all the people. They have regular meetings with these people. Now, they probably will not have regular meetings with Elon Musk. He's the enemy now, and he's even alluded to allowing Trump back on the Twitter platform, which is just freaking people out. Of course, you've got people on the left who are freaking out about him being back on the Twitter platform, and other people are saying, yeah, we welcome him back because it'll remind people of how bad he is. It'll give them more fuel in the fodder, more fodder to throw at the, you know, just, oh, the, you know, the Nazis back. We have somebody to attack. Now we have, we have two rallying cries now to get everybody out to vote. One is the abortion issue. The other one is the Trump is back. The Nazis back. The racist. That'll get people out to vote against him. They would love that. I don't know. I think Trump might just wait. He might just sit there on his hands and say, oh, I'll see. I don't know. See how it goes. I would wait. If I was him, I would just wait and see how this is all going to pan out. I like maybe the day before the election, get back on there. Just to freak him out. Or just not say anything. Just sign on and not say anything. Not tell a soul. Just, you know, sit alone someplace with your phone. Sign back up. Not say anything. See how long it takes to find out. just to play games, just to cat and mouse them a little bit. But I won't. I digress. The whole issue is just it's fascinating. However, now looking back to this whole thing of Fauci and all the stuff that's going on there, this is just one organization. The NIH is just one organization that they were getting kickbacks from. We're talking millions of dollars, probably millions of dollars that Fauci got from through the NIH Foundation. That's just from NIH. That's not from other entities like Big Pharma. Folks, there are ways to hide money. You might be able to, let's get Fauci's taxes. You want to talk about somebody that we need to find out about. Fauci, first of all, is the highest, my understanding is he's the highest paid bureaucrat in all of D.C. He makes more than the president. Well, in terms of actual salary. I'm talking about all the behind the scenes deals that they make. How is it that presidents go into office? What do they make? A couple hundred thousand dollars a year? Whatever they make? I don't know. $1 million. What are they paying? I don't know. It used to be like $200,000 a year, I think. I'm sure it's gone up 10 times that. They make a bunch of money every year, and somehow they become multimillionaires by the time they, you know, leave the office, even though apparently they have no expenses. And they've invested in wild ways that make them like 4 times, 10 times the money that they made from their salary. This was not the case with Donald Trump. Donald Trump walked into the White House with a net worth in the billions of dollars and probably lost about, I think he overestimated his net worth. He was bragging a little bit. By the time he got into the actual, I think that really what he was probably with cashed out, which is different. I can say I'm worth X amount of dollars. By the time I sell everything and cash it out, you're only worth what somebody's willing to pay. So my house, and I think it might be worth X amount of dollars. If I choose to sell it right now with the way the market is, I don't know. It may be this month or, you know, in the next 6 months, there may not be anybody that wants it. And then the next 6 months, there might be five people who really want it and willing to pay the price I want for it. So it's all about timing. And it's all about whatever happens. Now, I might think that my house is worth X amount of dollars. But if nobody's willing to pay that, then it's not worth that much. I recently did a collaborative work on an album, some music that I did. And the fellow that I was working with, very good friend of mine, he came up with this idea one day that we had, you know, the intellectual property that we had was worth $100,000. How do you determine that? And I guess to him, it's probably worth $100,000. If he had $100,000 to spend, would he have invested $100,000 in the album, into the, you know, everything that we had going on there? I would say probably not. Now, the project did not make $100,000. The project, as far as I'm concerned, it cost me more than it did, or more than I made. By the time I invested in CDs and time and software and equipment and everything else that happened there, broken guitar strings and paying the electric bill, all the stuff, I know I didn't make any money. That wasn't that much money spent. I mean, we're talking, you know, little minute things, office expenses. I didn't even make enough to pay those bills on the project. So how, and this was many, many years ago, and it still hasn't turned into anything. So it's only worth what someone else is willing to pay for it. And obviously nobody was even willing to pay enough for the songs. That the songs didn't even pay off. I think we sold enough to pay. You have to pay a membership, I think, for, we used CD Baby to post the songs, to post the music. And of course, CD Baby, you have to pay I think it was like 30 or 40 bucks per song. You can do an album and it's a little bit less, and you can, we did so much per song, posted the songs and in each collection. And it was, I think the total, we have 10 songs, I think, 8 songs. I can't remember how many we had. It's $400 or $500. I think we ended up paying total in all the expenses to get everything posted. And then, of course, when you sell the songs, you make like $1 a piece or whatever they are, 99 cents, or whatever. I think they're 99 cents to buy, and they're like we make us about 70 cents of that or 60 cents of that, whatever it is. And you get a check in the mail when it got up to a certain amount. I'm pretty sure that by the time that was all said and done, I'm pretty sure we never made enough money to pay for all, not with the sales through iTunes. Anyway. Now, some of the intellectual property was used in other ways, and there was some money made there. I don't know how much. I have no idea. That's fine. If he was the one who went out and did the footwork and legwork and made some things happen, I think, with some of that stuff, and it's good for him. I didn't do anything more with it, and I don't expect any kind of payment for that. You go out and beat the streets, and you know, if he would have been out on the street corner selling CDs, hey, good for you. I don't need any of that. You're the one out there selling it. You should reap the reward for that. I don't know that I would have done it that way. I would have probably still given a kickback. I don't know what I would have done. I certainly have no issue with him selling the stuff. Now, if it would have gone crazy, hit the top of the charts, $1 million song, we need to make a discussion. At that point, it's because then now the intellectual property has actually gone on fire and caught on. It's gone viral. It's got a life of its own. And that means some of that money needs to come back to the original artists who made that happen. That they're the ones who made that song go viral, because it wasn't just somebody out there who, you know, there's always going to be a marketer person that's a producer, whatever's going to happen with that. So in the midst of all that, having said all that, the marketing thing, the corporatism that is mixed kind of very underhandedly and shadily among the world leaders, I'm more concerned about a marketing person like Jeff Bezos or somebody who has a huge marketing company, middleman company, taking over. This, that, like conglomerates, like you get a company like Amazon mixed up with, say, like Amazon has their own delivery service now. I was concerned about Amazon or eBay getting mixed up together, and then also like including that into a shipping, becoming vertically integrated with other companies. And that simply means that they're outside of, you know, they have their own little structure in terms of everything from manufacturing to, you know, then they buy up all kinds of quantities of things, warehouse them, sell them, and deliver them all within the same organization, and have an incredible amount of control over market share. And basically kind of control the market. All while being protected by government bureaucrats who are getting paid under the table because they're getting what they think is a lot of money for, you know, pushing certain legislation because of the lobbyist issue and all the, well, not just lobbyists. Lobbyists actually have a lot of rules if they follow. It's the stuff that happens under the table that's concerning. And the shady backroom deals that nobody sees. And sometimes the lobbyists are involved in those. Now, what's interesting is how lobbyists become a part of administrations. You know, lobbyists will be working somewhere, and then they step out of the lobbyist role, and all of a sudden they're snatched up by an administration to work inside the administration. That's the kind of relationship these people have with the bureaucrats. And then in other cases, they're an insider in the administration, and they step back out and become a lobbyist afterwards because they know how the game works. Either way, it's a game, and we're the ones being played. Now, recently, there's a guy named Jimmy Dore. I listen to him a lot. And I've mentioned this before, and I don't think I've ever really completed my complete thought with this kind of stuff. You have people like Joe Rogan, Bill Maher, and people like Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore is kind of at odds right now with the Young Turks. TTY. Chink Uyghur, or Unger, whatever his name is, and this other Caspian, or whatever his name is. They are a corporate shill. The TTY, the Young Turks, are nothing but they are money grubbing. I'm not going to use the word. They're bought and paid for by big money. They have big supporters behind them, and even YouTube pays them oodles of money and never censors them for anything that they say. They are as leftist, left-leaning, crazy left as you can get, except they will only pay homage to certain individuals within the left. Jimmy Dore claims he's all totally leftist. Now, he wants to, he has something about the People's Party. I'm not sure how involved he is in the People's Party or whether that's actually a party. I'm not sure. I don't follow where he's at, really, what he does. However, here's what I like about Jimmy Dore. You can have a discussion with him. You can have an honest discussion with Jimmy Dore. He's willing to hear you. We kind of want this. Look, Republicans or conservatives, I'll say conservative. I'm a conservative libertarian. That's the way I like to look at it. That's kind of, if you're going to pigeonhole me, that's kind of where I stand. More of a Ron Paul libertarian style. However, I don't agree with Ron Paul on everything, especially some domestic policies. Some things I'm a little bit. What I learned from Ron Paul, and I will be forever grateful, is the whole concept of liberty and individual rights. I learned so much from Ron Paul when he was running for president that I can't pay the man back. I mean, there's no way. Actually, he's the only candidate I've ever given money to. I think that understanding individual liberty is the core of where we need to get back to in this country. And I think that he did more to educate a lot of people on that, on the concepts there, than anybody else has ever done. Now, having said that, the thing I like about Jimmy Dore, now, like I said, I can have a discussion with him. Joe Rogan is taking all kinds of flack for questioning, just asking questions about abortion. And having some real, you know, heartfelt human concerns and issues about how we see abortion and what we're talking about. Bill Maher also has brought up some things, and he thinks the left has just gone, you know, bat poop crazy here, because he didn't know some things. He said, now, did you know that he listed off like 7 or 8 different European countries who are supposedly so much more advanced than we are. He said that their abortion rules and laws are more restrictive than we have here in the United States. He didn't know that. Now, the other thing, too, that they're splattering all over the place is that reversing Roe v. Wade and the reversing of that, or the dropping of that, will ban abortion. That women will have to use coat hangers again. It's barbaric and inhumane, and it's intrusive into a woman's body. Telling a woman what she can do with her body. Well, what you did with your body is what the problem is. If you want to be responsible about what you do, what about rape and incest? Okay, you know, if that's what you, where you want to go, that's where you want to go with this. If you want to say we'll ban abortion except for rape and incest. If those are the people you're really concerned about, then let's let it rip with rape and incest and allow that up to who cares when. I'm okay with that. That's a start. Let's go there first. Because you're talking about a 0.5% of the abortions that are done are from rape and incest. And some of those are even questionable. So let's go there first. I'll see that as a major milestone victory. Because 99.5% of all abortions would be ended at that point. And we'd have children here that we can't feed all of a sudden. I digress. So this whole issue, but I've gotten way off topic here again. I want to make it clear that what I appreciate about Joe Rogan is that I could sit down and have an honest discussion with the man. I could express to him what my beliefs are, what my thoughts and where I stand on an issue. And if I'm open and honest with him about it, I would think he would respect that. We don't get that from leftists. There's no respect from the leftists. If you have a differing opinion, you're a racist, Nazi, misogynist, whatever. I mean, it just the list of names goes on and on, and they will not listen. They just start screaming at you with this hysterical insanity. What is wrong with that? I mean, it's just, there's something mentally not right about that. You want to talk about being triggered. They just get triggered by this stuff. They cannot have an open discussion. I made a comment one time about health. This was back when healthcare was a big issue, and Jimmy Dore was talking about, government needs, we need to have government paid healthcare. We need to have government system, government paid healthcare in this country. I was like, I think that everybody wants to see everybody have health care. I don't think anybody wants to see anybody go without health care. Nobody on the right or left wants to see anybody not be taken care of if they need to be taken care of. We all want that. Everybody wants that same thing. We all want to see everybody being able to feed themselves or to be able to eat, to have health care, to get good education. We all want that. I want to see every man, woman, and child in this country, on this planet for that matter, be able to have all of the best things available to them that they can attain, to attain their most utmost goals. What I don't agree with is how some people want to get there. I think that we all want to get there, we just have different ways of getting there. Jimmy Dore is big on government taking over these things. We need to have a people's party, the people will be taking over these things and be doing these things for everybody. We're going to have government health care. We're going to have government education, free education. Everything's going to be free, or at least taken care of. And yet, he's the same guy who turns around and calls out government, things like the CDC, for lying to us, saying that. Of course, there were people that were coming out and saying, you know, all the conspiracy theorist people were coming out and saying they're going to use the vaccination process as a means to track you. No, you're a conspiracy theorist. That's not going to happen. You're just one of those tinfoil hat guys. Oh, and then a report comes out just recently. Jimmy Dore did a good report on it, just scathing. He's brutally honest about this stuff. He came out and basically said, yep, here it is. Here's the report. The CDC has been tracking people who were vaccinated. Or had, even if you just had a test, they're tracking you and see what you're doing. But they basically wanted to track people who were to see if they were actually abiding by the lockdown rules. They were tracking cell phone data that I guess is not very accurate because, you know, that would get into the voting issue. It's only accurate when you're. It's not accurate when you're going to a voting booth. It's only accurate when you're going to a voting box, you know, a drop box for ballots. It's accurate when you're at the Capitol protesting on January 6th. It's not accurate when you're outside of a Supreme Court justice's house trying to intimidate them to rule on a particular issue. Now, you see, it's not, and here's where the real disconnect comes with most of these people. Judges do not rule, and this is what I appreciate about Gorsuch. I know Gorsuch took a lot of flack because of some decision he made about a truck driver or something. He made this decision. It was bad because it destroyed the trucker's life. Here's the deal. The problem wasn't the law. The problem wasn't his decision on the law. The problem was the law itself. The lawmakers that made the law, and he did the ruling on the law and said, you know what? This law sucks, but I have to go along with what the law says. I'm here to disseminate the law. If it's a bad law, he can't change. There was nothing in the rights of the people that he could make a decision on because the law was bad. And it sucked for the driver. It sucked for that individual. Because there was nothing to protect him within the Constitution, within the Bill of Rights, to protect him from the issue that he got himself into. And they blamed Gorsuch for it. I appreciate the fact that Gorsuch was willing to look at the law and interpret it on its own merits and not come up with some kind of activist judge mentality. Well, I'm going to step in here and do this. No, you can't. You just don't do that. Now, judges have the ability, if the law is bad or if it's bad law in terms of if there's a constitutional issue, they can make a determination or a decision. But they don't even have as much authority. Believe it or not, the jury has more authority than a judge in that case. A jury can step in and say, we're throwing the law out because we don't believe that this law is valid. And the judge can't do anything about that. He can reprimand them. He can say whatever he wants to say. He can make a statement, whatever he wants to say. But when it is a jury, a trial by jury, in most cases, in most states, depending on what kind of law they're operating under, the judge cannot overrule that. In some cases, they can. I'm not a lawyer, by the way. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not any kind of... I can barely make a cup of chai that's halfway decent. I'm a guy with a microphone that has a lot of opinions. And if you want to listen to me and do whatever you want to with those opinions, that's up to you. But it is May 11th. I can read a calendar. It's Wednesday, May 11th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. By the time this gets posted, it's probably going to be about 10:15, 10:30, something like that. And by this afternoon, by the time you actually listen to this or are listening to this, I will probably be... on my way up to my boat, try to get ready to go in the water for the season. Hopefully that'll be done. And all will be well. Yeah, it's all going to be done. So in the meantime, hopefully the supply chain issues won't cause a problem with that because I got to get some bottom paint, all that stuff I got to do. I got to paint my bottom. I paint my bottom every year. It's quite a sight. I think that's about all I'm going to talk about today. I have pretty much expunged my brain capacity. One of the things you have to realize, and I've talked about this before, in a 1 hour show and a 1 hour podcast here, I have no advertisements. I have no pauses. I just talk for an hour. Now, if I had a sponsor, which I don't know if anybody ever approached me to be a sponsor, I would have to have a serious discussion with them. I don't know what I would do with a sponsor. I don't even know because I don't like having advertisements, and I don't like, first of all, when I'm listening to a podcast or when I'm listening to a show of some kind, I don't like listening to them. Last night I was out mowing the yard, and of course my radio station here locally, at least the only one I can pick up that is any decent is a little radio station called MNC, 95.3 MNC. It's a talk radio show. Sean Hannity comes on about 6 o'clock. Well, he comes on about 6:05. And then he has a 5-minute long thing that he starts into. It starts in with his little bumper music, which is, well, we're coming to you, Sunday. We're going to play our guitars and play you country songs, whatever that is. And then he's got this whole thing where he comes in with this whole, it's like a montage of different sound bites of people saying stupid things. And then he has, then he comes in and he does his little speech. Like he calls it setting the table. He comes in and gives his little monologue for like 10 minutes. And they go to commercial. So you get 10 minutes of content there. And then he comes in at the bottom of the hour, right after all the advertisings, and he comes in and basically kind of repeats kind of what he was saying, and he talks about the guests he's going to have on. That takes about 5 minutes. That's not really any show content. That's just he's talking, like I am talking right now. And then he gets done, and then you have the news, local news, national news, more advertising. And then you have advertising that Sean has on his show. And then he'll talk about MyPillow, or he'll talk about something else, or whatever it is he talks about, which is another advertisement. Makes it sound like it's part of the show, but he's actually just advertising something. And he comes back in with 5 minutes of talking and possibly having a caller call in, or he'll have a guest on. Usually they keep the guest on the second hour, I think. I don't know. He's got like a 3 hour show. So then he'll talk, maybe have a caller who calls in. And before the caller even gets to ask a question, he'll start talking to him and asking them questions, and he'll talk about what he thinks about he had a trucker call in. I think it was a couple days. It was either last night or night before. I have a big yard. It took me a couple of days to mow it. So I was out there mowing, and I heard this thing, and this trucker called in. He starts asking about gas prices and how do you make your money? Don't you have to charge more now for your service? Well, yeah, and he's talking about that. But the trucker wanted to call in and talk about abortion. He wanted to talk about his trucking industry. But of course, it was all, you know, yeah, duh. Yeah, it costs more. The pump costs him twice as much now as it did, you know, a year ago. And of course, he has to pass that on, and he has to watch his pennies because, you know, he's got to pass those expenses off. So, But it's always about Sean. Sean tries to control the agenda. And it's even when people call in when he has guests on, the guests will have maybe 30 seconds of being able to say what they want to say. And he'll talk the rest of the time. Well, you know, they always want, you know, dirtier, kind of dirty water, dirty air, dirty. That's what the Republicans go on with it. He'll like repeat himself over and over and over. If you pick up about 20 minutes of his show, you've probably got the whole 3 hours. That's what I'm trying to get at here. You know what his agenda is. And if you've listened to one of his shows through the week, you've probably heard the whole show all week long, because you're just going to get the same things, the talking points over and over. It's so repetitive. It's ridiculous. And I mean, within a week, you probably get 3 hours of content. In my show, you get at least, you know, I don't know, 30 minutes of content in an hour. I don't know. Maybe not. When you count all the bumbling around I do and talking about my microphone, I don't know what you get. But think about what you pay for. Do the math on that one. I guess the radio show is free too. If you just got a radio, driving down the car with the road on. You're driving down the road with your car radio on. One other thing I want to talk about really quick, and this I know I'm dragging on the show here a little bit long, but that's one of the advantages I can do with the podcast. Billions of dollars now are being sent to Ukraine. We're into the billions now. This money sloshes around out there. And my understanding is there's a bunch of money going to help protect the border of Ukraine. What about our border? That's a good question. Well, we don't care about our border. That's why we're not spending any money on that. They want to do, of course, they've always talked about, we want to do a soft border, you know, having more surveillance and all. Those are all things that can just, the switch can be flipped off. A wall cannot, you can't switch the flip off on a wall. You can't switch the flip off of a wall. The wall is there. All you have to do is maintain it. It slows them down and we're able to get to it and respond. That's what the wall is for. When there's no wall, it's questionable whether or not it's really squishy at that point. And of course you can just turn the wall off. You can turn those security systems off. You can do whatever you want to with them. That's why soft. And then you have also, you have flesh and bone that has to step in and stop the massive caravans of thousands of people who want to come across all at the same time. You can't stop that with a wall slows that down. That's all I'm saying. But I digress. The show, this is Wednesday. Tomorrow morning, there will be another show. And I might even have a show tonight this evening. There's always that possibility. And I don't know. I know that I'm going to be going up to, I've got about an hour to drive up to the boat. I got some serious work I got to do on the boat. And then after I get that done, I'm going to dinner up there. That's where my wife works. That's right where the boat is. And we're going to have dinner, and then I'm going to probably come back and feed the dogs. So there might be a late night show tonight. If there is a late night show, now it all kind of all depends on whether I get the sound booth moved and what I do with that, because I'm going to try to get that moved in and get it kind of set up. And if I get that all done, I might just do a show just to show you what it sounds like. The great quality difference. You're going to be amazed. You're going to want to throw money at your screen, your computer screen, or whatever you're listening to on. It sounds so good. The silky smoothness of my voice in real time. God bless everybody. Have a great day.